Meteorologist Joe Bastardi here, the American Storm, in our podcast with Jeff Byers. Jeff, say hello.
Hello.
And in case some of you may not know who Jeff Byers is, all right, I've got this from Grok. I sent this to you this morning.
I saw.
Well, now there is a football player named Jeff Byers, I think,
or there an actor is. Or something. Yeah, he was an offensive lineman for USC.
So you wouldn't really know an offensive lineman for USC as opposed to the voice of Penn State wrestling.
I mean, right.
When was the last time USC did anything? But Jeff Byers is indeed known as the voice of Penn State wrestling. He's been a prominent figure in the wrestling community. I just want you folks to know who's here with me, all right? I mean, you know, we aren't just pretty faces over here, all right? In the wrestling community for more than three decades, serving as the lead broadcaster for Penn State Wrestling. Byers' passionate and engaging commentary has made him an integral part of the wrestling culture at Penn State. His ability to connect with the wrestlers and their families outside of the booth, as well as his outgoing personality, has solidified his position as a beloved and respected figure in Happy Valley. Byers' dedication to the sport and Penn State wrestling program has been evident throughout his 31-year career. Holy smokes. And he continues to be a significant voice in the wrestling world.
There you go.
I got to say, I'm jealous of that. Do you know, though, but before there was Jeff Byers, I broadcast some Penn State wrestling matches.
I did know that.
Little known fact.
I go back to when I first started, Denny Shabika was still doing some matches. And Denny Shabika, for those that don't know, was kind of an old school cowboy.
Well, he became a cowboy.
Well, yes. And so the quick story I have to share with you, and Denny has long ago passed, wonderful, gregarious personality. And the first time I ever actually met him, we were down at the Willow Bank building, and I was sent by WRSC at the time to cover the commissioner's meeting. And Pat Boland, may he also rest in peace. Good God, I'm old that all of these wonderful people have passed. But Pat Boland had been on that beat for quite some time. Pat was a longtime radio news and sports broadcaster in this area and passed way too soon from cancer. And so Pat and I were friends, old college buddies. And he's like, yeah, when you get down there, look me up and, you know, we'll sit next to each other and I'll go over everything. And so we did that. So I introduced myself to Denny Shabika. We're getting comments from all the commissioners afterward. Now, mind you, at the time, I'm 19, maybe 20. I mean, I'm still in school at Penn State. I think probably maybe 20. I was probably a sophomore or junior, I guess. And Denny says, hey, boys, come out to the pickup truck. This is after the meeting's over, after we've done the interviews. We go out to the pickup truck. And he gives both of us two bottles of, I don't even know,
I think it's got to be that whiskey
of some kind. And it was potent stuff. I know that. And he was just a character and a half.
He had the, I was away for it. I wish I wasn't away for it. He had the Miller High Life Rodeo in Bellefonte. They tried to, you know, march the cattle into the, you know, cattle drive through Bellefonte, and they broke out and stampeded Bellefonte. And I had to be away in Rhode Island that weekend. That could have been the greatest moment. Well, actually, Denny Shabika was part of a package at Penn State that would never let the Lehigh national champion Mike Frick beat them. Between Fritzy and Shabika, and Denny was He was a 500 wrestler, but he was deadly with his leg rides. Unbelievable. And no wonder he could ride bulls later. But Frick, he tied. Lehigh had a great wrestler, Mike Frick. And he could not beat Penn State guys, so Fritzy beat him. And then Shabika got him in the dual meet and just tied him up. Is completely. Right? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And Denny's takedown move was he'd stand in front of you and he'd put his leg up and say, grab my leg, so he could guy get down on the mat, get in a scramble, and get on top of you. But anyway, we talked a little about wrestling there. Of course, I have a little bit of a wrestling background myself. Now, there's a lot, of course, there's a lot going on. Things are ramping up as far as, you know, the climate situation is going. You're seeing more and more things being put out there. And the fever pitch is going to be reached down the road. Before we get to that, let's get to the weather. We've got a pretty strong system coming through the Midwest that could kick off. Well, we haven't seen anything today, but tomorrow into Wednesday, there could, and this is, we're recording this Monday night, there could be some tornadic activity in the central part of the United States. Now, we're running about 15 to 20% below normal for the month of April. The problem is in April that one big outbreak can flip that around.
Yeah.
And it's interesting in that of the last 17 years, I think 12 or 13 of them have been below normal as far as tornado outbreaks go. And that's definitely a climate change signal, because what happens is because Aprils have been warmer in the north, you've been getting less and less contrast fighting going on. So you want it cold in the north and west during the month of April, and you want it warm down the south. Now, we do have some very, very cold air over the northwest part of the United States now, and that's going to come out. So we have to watch over the next couple of weeks, you know, for this. We're also going to go, it looks to me like we're getting a snowstorm in Denver, probably Friday night or Saturday.
Good, they can have it.
Denver likes to have a lot of snow. And
good
some
for
of,
them.
Some
Enjoy
of that,
it.
Some of that's getting out to Nebraska and Kansas. Most of you in the Ohio Valley and East, you have one more freeze or frost coming up sometime this weekend, because it's going to be quite cold this weekend. And then I think it's over. I think May looks to me like it's going to be a top five warm May in the United States, centered over the Great Lakes. Mm. Yeah, I was mentioning that to you this morning. I could see temperatures taking a run at 90 degrees during the first 10 days of May. A crossover in Europe. It's amazing watching the way the media works in Europe. They take 20 degrees Celsius, which is, I mean, I think today was 20 Celsius, let's see, 50. That would be about 68 degrees, if my memory serves me correct, right? So they claim 20 degrees Celsius is like a heat wave now, right? In April, it's way above normal. But I'll tell you what, I'll bet you those people in the UK and Germany were enjoying 20 above, or, you know, 10 degrees above normal or whatever it was, a lot more than they're going to enjoy the next 2 weeks, because we're going to see it snow all the way into Germany. Snow and snow showers, even I wouldn't be surprised if we see some snow in London. And temperatures have been outrageously warm in Europe the first 2 weeks of the month. They may actually wind up near normal because so much cold air is coming. It may reverse the whole thing. Hmm. Speaking of cold, and I have to do this because no one else will tell you, Australia has been off to the coldest start in April on its record. And the Antarctica has been off to its coldest start since 1998. So there's a lot of things going on that are not being reported. The only thing that's reported, I mean, we had the big flood in Pakistan, for instance, and people got hit by lightning or whatever. And I see this showing up, 36 people dead in Pakistan from a flood, climate change, right? I mean, you know, guess what? The places like Pakistan, they'll get a lot of rain, a lot of thunderstorms. Now, for those of you who have been following on WeatherBell, and even if you haven't been following, we've been talking about how bad this hurricane season can be. And over the next couple of days, I'm going to put something on a committee for constructive tomorrow, I guess it is, CFACT, I write for them. And that's how I get my public hurricane stuff out. Because it's all behind the paywall at WeatherBell, most of it. Our forecast is on the WeatherBell site for you to see. I haven't changed it, okay? Hurricane season from hell, all right? So but what I did was I called attention to the fact that what happened in New England and Long Island in 1938, 1944, 1954, and 1960 is absolutely mind-boggling. And so if that happened today, these kind of hurricanes, you wonder, given the media that we have today, what the heck would be reported, you know, the way they report things. I mean, it's kind of strange because it's across the board. I don't know, and I always talk about this. It's completely across the board. You see it in every single little thing. You know, in 2020, current President Biden was saying that Trump, he wouldn't be surprised if Trump caused a problem with Iran to, create a, phony war before the election or whatever. Nobody reports it. Now, I know people are going, don't do that. I saw what you guys said on Grok and all this other stuff. But I just want you to know that what you're seeing in climate and weather is simply an offshoot of what you're seeing across the board. And the only way that you can possibly stop that is to actually inform yourself. You got to get up and do a little work. Yeah. You know, I made a comment on Twitter the other day. Yeah, it's 4:15 in the afternoon after the Blue-White game. I'm driving through State College. And I can't help it. You know, the one thing I never wanted to be was a angry old man. You know, Billy Joel's angry young man. You'll go to the grave an angry old man, all right? And, I believe I've passed the age of consciousness and righteous rage. I found that just surviving is a noble plight or noble task or whatever he says. By the way, that was a good show. He was on last night at CBS. That was pretty darn good.
I missed it. I did hear it was...
You know, I did meet Billy Joel once.
Yeah?
I met him at halftime of a Bruce Springsteen concert. Mm. One of my dearest friends was one of his roadies, and he took me backstage. I shot a game of pool with Billy Joel.
Nice.
And Billy was never your normal rock star. I mean, he was a great boxer. And he always liked getting into fights. But his comment to me was, "You're the only Italian I ever met can't shoot pool." I didn't have a chance. The guy, I missed the first. He broke. I missed the first shot, and then he just cleaned me off the table. But I don't even remember what I was talking about now. So it must have. My mother would always say, "Well, it must have been a lie." I just moved from one thing to another. No, but we've got all this stuff going on. Now, I'm going to read a couple of things I put on Twitter, okay? And first of all, I want to read something from Dr. Will Happer, professor of physics emeritus at Princeton University. I know Dr. Will Happer. As a matter of fact, I've been out to eat with him a couple of times, including one time in Princeton. I went out to eat at a Chinese restaurant. Him and his just lovely wife, I can't recall her name exactly, but Jess and Jesse went out with me. And in 15 minutes on a napkin at a Chinese restaurant, he explained the whole carbon dioxide, the way carbon dioxide works, so that my wife and my daughter understood it. That's how he can get this stuff right. He's the foremost expert on it. And he comes up with this. This is what people say. CO2 levels have increased from about 280 parts per million to over 400 parts per million in the last 150 years. And so the Earth is warmed by 0.8 degrees Celsius during that time. Therefore, the warming is due to CO2, right? Well, correlation is not causation, folks. Roosters crow every morning at sunrise, but that does not mean the rooster caused the sun to rise. Now, did he? The sun will still rise on Monday if you decide to have the rooster for Sunday dinner. Mm. And this is what we see with this whole thing. And the idea that calling CO2 as a pollutant that must be eliminated is nothing but Orwellian newspeak. It's just the same kind of thing going on. And this is what gets me is, you know, Will, Dr. Happer, was never a right wing. I mean, he's a Princeton, for goodness sakes, right? He was never some right wing whatever. If I remember, he told me he had voted for, always on the other side. And as soon as he came out in the effort of honesty, he just got slammed. It's sort of like our state senator here, who I may not like most of his policies, but I absolutely love that the guy speaks his mind. It is so refreshing to hear Fetterman speak his mind. Well, you know, he speaks his mind. Well, that's fine as long as you agree with what I'm saying, you know. And he's come out with some things, and I happen to agree with what he's saying. But what I love about him is he doesn't appear to be afraid. It's all, yeah. And so he gets demonized. Dr. Happer gets demonized. Now, listen to this little ditty from our friends to the north. Okay, let me get this. Let me get this over here. All right. Let me just get over here. Where am I? Here we go. So we've got, you know, what's his name? Trudeau up there. I always think it's Pierre Trudeau because from my day, that was I guess his father's Pierre Trudeau. What's the name of the current Trudeau? Inspector Clouseau.
There you go.
Oh, that's Clouseau. No. So they're putting a carbon tax on these poor Canadian people, and it's really wrecking their economy. And I've brought this up before. Here in Pennsylvania, we have enough trees that it actually gets rid of our emissions. Anyway, trees absorb 50 pounds of carbon dioxide a year. Canada, listen to this, Jeff. Canada has 318 billion trees. United States, by the way, 225 billion trees. Meaning 15.264 trillion pounds of CO2 is cleaned up in Canada, which equals 7.632 billion tons of carbon dioxide a year. That's what trees take out in Canada. Canada produces 598.46 million tons of carbon dioxide. So I want you to understand what we're saying here. The trees in Canada get rid of over 7.5 billion tons of carbon dioxide. Canada itself only produces 600 million tons of carbon dioxide. Therefore, Canada cleans almost 13 times more CO2 than it produces. Why are Canadians being taxed a carbon tax? And this is what people don't understand. If you really want to clean the problem up, trees and nuclear power. And it's fascinating to me that you are seeing people take such a stand against that. What is so hard to think about when it comes to, just don't build a darn power plant, Fukushima or something, or the earthquake fault.
Would seem to make sense.
You don't have much to say tonight. I think the Grok thing took it out of you.
Well, yeah. I mean, it built me up, and now I just, I can't get out of the way of my own ego. Justin Trudeau, by the way, I had to look it up.
Oh, it's Justin.
It was not coming to me. Yeah, it was driving me crazy. Not
Pierre Trudeau.
Having it on the tip of my
tongue.
Or
Inspector Clouseau.
Yes, but I think that's a great point, though, with the trees. And the fact is, if you truly believe that the problem is with CO2 and that it's where the Al Gores of the world say it is, then it's too late anyway. Like, we're already done. So at this point, anything that is being done is clearly just politics and or moving the money around. But it is either that it's not nearly the problem that is, which I firmly believe is the case, or it is the problem that they're saying it is. And again, if it is the problem that they're saying it is, it at this point, it is too late. It would not matter what we do. So it's nonsense that we're trying to save the planet at this point by trying to limit the
Trying to save the planet by doing away with humanity, basically, yeah. Because the things that they're advocating, you know, with farming and all this other stuff, would just lead to mass starvation. Or we have to reduce all our calorie intake. You know, I'll tell you what, I actually did something that I never thought I would do. But I'm 68 and I have some, I'll be frank with the audience. I have not felt this way about the world situation since 1962. Now, I was a very astute little kid. I always paid attention to everything. I must have driven my dad nuts because I was constantly asking him questions about not only the weather. Well, that didn't drive him nuts, but like geopolitical situations, you know, about Cuba, about what was going on. I love John Kennedy. John Kennedy was our president, right? I was very scared when I was, you know, my dad was saying, well, they're trying to put nuclear missiles right in Cuba, right? And that would be a real problem. He's like, and you know, the commercials on TV were saying they can hit Miami. It's 90 miles. I mean, these dark commercials on TV of just like this sinister looking thing, 90 miles south of Miami. Okay, so you're a little kid. You're scared stiff, right? Well, I'm scared. I mean, let's put it this way. I shouldn't be. You shouldn't worry, because worry is the opposite of what the Holy Spirit wants for you. But I think you can't turn a blind eye. I can't believe I did this. I actually purchased, you know, supplies. And you know, I do know some of my friends who in their spiritual beliefs believe that you should store. Okay. I'm not going to say who, but there are people, and Jess started storing stuff downstairs, but I got to keep this stuff upstairs because the mice are running around downstairs and all this other stuff. But I remember Saturday morning when that they seized that ship in the Straits of Hormuz. I just started, you know, adding all these things up. I'm watching go on and saying, you know, you would. Hopefully, I never have to use it. Besides, it's like 3 months' supply of it, and I carb load on the weekends so I could get some of that stuff. But I didn't think it would turn out this way. And you know, when I talk to people about it, there's nothing going on, and that's they may be right, okay? Because we talk about stuff. Talk with people about the end times, and every, you know, a lot of Christians are always into revelations and what's going to happen there. Well, the temple hasn't been built in Jerusalem yet, so I'm not worried about the world ending. All right, what I'm saying is that, you know, if you do look at revelations, there's no reference to a Western presence in the end times, and I do kind of wonder what's going on in that aspect. So I don't know. You know, I just, if I had my druthers about it, I just, you know, wish the weather and climate was just left out of it, because it would make it so much easier. And it's so weird, Jeff, because I know darn, see, I watch Kale. I mean, you know, and I listen, we all do, but I'm blessed in that I'm around there. He really does not get out of his lane. He doesn't give a darn if someone says something about him or whatever. He knows what's true. He's comfortable. And the thing is this, that my problem is, in all these other things I do, and I know that person is saying something that he doesn't have the whole truth, or he's purposely saying something different.
Yeah.
That bothers me. And yet, I'm not supposed to be bothered by it, but look at the cumulative effect of where we are. You folks, just remember, the phony climate war is a real war. It's leading to war. And it's very easy to understand that, because if America was energy independent right now and was shipping oil to everybody else,
yep,
right? So that in and of itself, it's not the total picture. But it is an unnecessary picture, and you have these people that are pushing things, and I gotta wonder if they're doing it on purpose to cause chaos, because that comes out of Cloward Piven, that what you have to do is cause chaos, and you don't want consensus. You talk like you want consensus, but you do the opposite. Now, I wanted to read this here, okay? So anyway, we've talked about Dr. Mann's hockey stick, where he had 22 possibilities and took two of them, right?
Yep.
So anyway, a comprehensive Russian, those Russians have reconstructed the climate and showed that indeed the hockey stick is, what do you call, wrong. That there was the medieval warming, and that there was the little ice age. So if you had all this warming in the medieval times, we're not any warmer now than what we were in the medieval times, which would mean the natural options there.
Are we sure this isn't Russian disinformation? Yeah, see that.
The one computer model that nailed the test. That's the other thing they say. The climate models are right. like I said before, it's like me predicting a foot of snow, 2 inches fall as I see it snowed. But what happened was, don't make any wisecracks because that actually happened this year once. What happened was I retweeted it and up comes on Twitter, do you want to read the article first? So I tweeted, hey, Elon, I never see this on any pro-warming blog post. In other words, if someone says, you had, what's her name, say the eclipse. When was the eclipse? Last Monday.
Yeah.
Were we here, did we do the show Monday or Tuesday?
I think we did it Monday last week.
Well, we did Monday last week. Yeah, okay. So we didn't buy into all the eclipse. That's right, we did. We just had the little, right, because you just got back from, I can't even remember. But the fact is that you had someone actually allude to the idea that the eclipse had something to do with climate change, right?
Yes.
And this is the kind of lunacy that is out there. And you say, everybody will laugh at that and go, oh, no, that's not right. Well, that audience that's watching it might think it's right. Now, why shouldn't that person be called out? Well, why shouldn't Al Gore be called out every single time he opens his mouth? Like, where's that credit come from? And it is the cumulative buildup of this situation has left us with mass confusion and the fact that, we're here where we are now. And, like I said before, people might think I am not a survivalist crackpot or anything like that. They're not crackpots. Believe me, people go, well, he lives out in this place, he's dumb. Yeah, well, you get caught out in the woods, I bet that guy lives and you don't. So smart is relative to where you are in your environment in a lot of situations. But I did on when they seized that ship and then, what happened the other night, I'm like, hey, things were a lot better 4 or 5 years ago. Does anybody actually disagree with that? I mean,
I don't know how you could, but
I guess
I'm sure there are people.
I guess if you're isolated in Manhattan or you've got so much money, and, it's kind of weird because there's a whole group of people. And what I see is this rising tide, all right? And it's engulfing the lower. My son's telling me what he was making. He can't even buy a house. If I were making that much money when I was his age, even adjusted for inflation, I could have bought a house, right?
Yeah.
And so it's gradually rising higher and higher to a point where you may just be forced to just, what they do in China. I mean, you could be very successful in China as long as you just do what you're told to do. So.
Right.
And maybe that's where we're going, I just hope.
I wonder about that.
I just hope that I just wish the weather was left alone. I really do. If the weather was left alone,
I wish a lot of things were left alone. I wish they'd leave sports alone. It creeps into everything. You can't get away from it.
It's hard. I was watching the track meet the other day. Do you know what I'm talking about? The transgender,
oh yeah,
right, lady, or I don't want to get anybody mad. I don't know how you do that and then go, wow! Like you're coming down the home stretch and you're 50 yards ahead of everyone in a 200 meter race or something, and you're like, wow, I am just unbelievably great and all this. I don't understand that, right? And I'm looking at that going, where is that? Where is that coming from? Like, for instance, I think the way to handle that, that transgender situation is, well, okay, we have male sports, female sports, and transgender sports. All right, let's do it. All right, but something tells me there won't be a lot of interest in it, nor would there be a lot of participation in it. But these are the things I'm talking about. They're these links, these things that. There seems to be the idea that a pure yes or no answer or a pure majestic subject like the weather, all right, it's gone. It's absolutely gone. So I mean, I guess we're just going to have to. Hey, listen, if you can't put your faith in the world, there's only God to put your faith in, right? And maybe that's the solution.
It could very well be.
Believe me, most of the time that is my solution. But, you know, when I come in here and I'm sitting with the Grok hero of wrestling. All right, well, we're going to end this thing here. I think I'll tell, I'm going to quote the Babylon Bee.
Yeah?
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right. This is sort of our joke of the week.
Okay.
Men demand reparations from women due to Eve eating the apple.
There you go.
See that? All right, so that just about sums it up here. All right, well, the American girl wasn't here to keep me in line. I'm all over the place again when I look at Grok, and I'll see what people are saying. But look, I like to have a good time. I've always been, if you ever ran into me someplace, you'll find that, you know, one of the reasons I was okay on TV was I really didn't give a darn. You know, like, oh, there's a camera on me. Like, I didn't never thought it that way. I'm just going to say what's on my mind. So I'm going to do the same thing over here. But what I want people to understand is, okay, climate, weather's my forte. By the way, before I go, I do think there will be a United States tropical storm or hurricane threat before Memorial Day this year. Mm-hmm. All right. So I did want to get there because I get the real warm May out there. But what I want people to look at is when you see climate and weather, I want you to go look at what's being said there and see if you can detect a pattern with other things. All right. Because that's something that, you know, rightly or wrongly, I seem to see what's going on today.
Yeah, it's a pretty consistent pattern.
And hopefully, you know, I pray for the best, that our best angels rather than our worst demons come out. We get our answer on November 5th. Everybody participates the right way, hopefully. And, you know, we move on from there, right?
Fingers crossed,
huh? How about... I saw a thing today, stand before the flag, bow before the cross. So maybe that's what we've got to do. Anyway, Jeff, you want to say bye?
I do. Bye.
Bye. All right. Well, that's it for now. The American storm is over. I want everyone to get out there and enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.